What's good, y'all? This is the Building People Podcast, where we have edifying conversations about life, ministry, and culture. I am your host, Derek J. Murphy, and I'm so glad that you joined me this week. But before we get to anything else, you know I always got to start with the praise report. This week's praise report has two names that I thought would never be listed in the same category, but here we go. Kanye West and Ricky Dillard. So I wasn't podcasting when the Sunday Service Choir released their album Jesus is Lord over the Christmas holiday. But when it came out, y'all, I was blown away with the creativity and musicality of this group. And while this is not technically a Kanye West album, they were brought to the forefront because of the Kanye West services that they have been performing at. Not to mention because of the high profile of Kanye West, they've been touring the world with their music. And I just love every last bit of what they have put out. Now, on the other end of that spectrum is Ricky Dillard with his new Choir Master CD. Y'all, I've been bumping it all week long. It is classic Ricky Dillard. And I know I said on the first episode that Ricky Dillard would be the first to go, but just forget all that for now, because this CD is phenomenal. It is church from front to back. Classic Ricky Dillard. Every song is just phenomenal. All of the leaders are on point. And they just sound wonderful. And between Kanye West and Ricky Dillard, y'all, I'm telling you, the choir is back. I don't know if it's because of the decline of church attendance or the fact that praise and worship has taken off in such a great way, but choirs seem to have taken a back seat to praise and worship and other forms of gospel music. But with these two CDs, I'm telling you, choir music is on the rise. The choir is back. And so as a gospel music fan, I'm happy to see this day. Who would have thought Kanye West and Ricky Dillard? They ought to do a song together. If you go back to the first episode of this season, you might remember that I said that I feel a little uncomfortable just coming to you guys talking, just me. It's a little unnerving sitting here and talking without any of the direct feedback that you get with having the conversations that we've been having by interviewing people. But there are times in this season where I just feel the need that I just need to come on and just talk to you about what's on my heart. And I live in Texas, where our governor, Governor Greg Abbott, has opened the state back up for the sake of the economy. And while I do understand that people need to be able to get back to work and people need to get back to stimulating the economy, spending money, making businesses work, because there are a lot of businesses that won't be able to open back up because of this crisis. While I get that, there are some things that are going to be forever different for all of us when life gets back to normal. And so today I just want to share with you five things that I hope to take into this next season as the world has changed after COVID-19. All right, you ready? So the first thing that I notice is that we all have room to simplify our lives. There are things in all of our lives that tend to complicate things. And, I'm all for living your best life and I'm all for doing all the things that you want to do. But if we're really honest with ourselves, many of us clutter our lives with stuff. And I've learned in this season that I don't need all of the extra stuff. Life has been really simple. Basically, I get up, I go to work, which consists of showering, brushing my teeth, lotion, and putting on my shoes and walking into my office to do my work. And when I'm done with work, I take off my shoes and I go sit on the couch and spend time with my family and do life in just a simple way. And it's been like that for several weeks now. And I got to tell you, I don't miss the rat race. I don't miss the quote unquote grind of performing life. I think that the reason why most of us clutter our lives up with so much stuff, so much extra stuff to do, so many other obligations is because we are performing our lives for people who honestly don't even really matter in the scheme of things. Being safe, I don't want to say stuck, but being safe at home with my family, it really shows what is really important to me. And if I could simplify my life down to those things that really matter, why wouldn't I? We live our lives with so many excuses as to why we need to stay busy, but busy does not equal productive. I'm going to say that again. Busy does not equal productive. I don't have to be doing 10 things in order to be productive. In fact, I say it all the time that rest is just as productive as work. It is vitally important to get somewhere and sit down, calm your nerves, and take care of yourself, because rest is just as important and just as productive as work. And so while there are a lot of people who will encourage you to continue grinding, find a new stream of income, find a new hobby that can make you money, find a new way to get your brand out. And while it may sound hypocritical that I'm doing this podcast, it's actually a simple thing. And because my life has been simplified, I am now able to do this thing that I wanted to do. Because I'm not going in so many different directions, doing so many different things, because life is simple now. And we all have room to simplify our lives. We all think that we have to hold on to all of these obligations, all of these ticks on our to-do list, all of these time slots on our daily calendar. If we could just really simplify the day, simplify our lives down to the things that are most important to us, to the things that produce purpose, to the things that help us to pursue our passion, then we are really living life as opposed to performing it. Because at the end of the day, nobody's really that interested in any of us that we should have to perform our lives. So we all have room to simplify our lives. You ready for number two? Number two, we should celebrate innovation. I know it's been said that imitation is the highest form of flattery, but honestly, over these last few weeks, we have been doing more replication than we have been celebration. If I see one more Don't Rush challenge, I mean, it was cute the first few, but between the Don't Rush challenge and the Baby Girl Give Me Something New challenge, we're all just replicating the same thing that someone innovated. And while it is great that we are finding these creative ways to do different things, we should celebrate what other people are doing without replicating it. Because what happens is that people will replicate it so that whoever was the one to innovate it doesn't get the credit for the innovation. I was listening to a podcast interview of PJ Morton, who is a New Orleans native, talking about the music scene in New Orleans. And most people would credit Louis Armstrong for revolutionizing music by introducing jazz from New Orleans, when Louis Armstrong would actually credit Joe King Oliver. He was the guy who brought the innovation, while Louis Armstrong brought the popularity to that innovation. Now, it's one thing to create something, while it's another thing to make something popular. So if you are a person who is paying homage to someone who has presented you an innovation, you should always point back to the person who brought about the innovation. What happened to giving people credit where credit is due? We all remember the story of Jalia Harmon, the girl who brought about that renegade dance that all the kids were doing on TikTok. It wasn't until some girl, I don't even know her name, Charlie D or something like that on TikTok, because I'm old. But anyway, it wasn't until Charlie D made it popular that the dance really took off. But she wasn't the one that originated it. So then why should she be the one to be invited to the NBA All-Star Game? Why should she be the one to be invited to talk shows when she didn't actually bring about the innovation? Y'all, we have been doing way too much replication and not enough innovation, especially in this season. We see somebody do something, we think it's cool, and we just try to do it a little bit better than somebody else. Not actually innovating the innovation further, not actually taking it a step further, but just trying to look better doing it. But just trying to look cooler doing it, trying to get more likes and more views by doing it. We would rather replicate than to innovate, because 9 times out of 10, people who bring about innovation don't get the credit. But I am a firm believer, as a creative, as a person who has ideas that are sometimes out the box, whenever somebody has inspired you to do something, you should always go back and let the world know the people who brought you to the place where you are. If it weren't for, and I'm just going to tell you, it's my guilty pleasure, if it weren't for Kid Fury and Crystal on The Read, I would not be podcasting. I saw how people just sitting down and talking about their views of some of the silliest things can be entertaining. It can be informative. It can even be inspiring by coming to you in this way. And I just didn't know that it was possible. Without it, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. And so, y'all, instead of just replicating what people are doing, let's celebrate their innovation. Let's celebrate their creativity. Give honor where honor is due. And I know you're saying, well, credit didn't pay the bills. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. If we do give people the credit that they deserve, then when people have questions about how to do whatever it is that that they are doing, they can come back and give their expertise and always be credited for bringing about that innovation. And so, y'all, let's do a whole lot less replication and do a whole lot more innovation. And if you aren't creative enough to be the innovator, celebrate the ones who are innovating. All right, y'all ready for number three? Number three, we overlook a lot of dope things. Seriously, we do. We overlook a lot of dope things. I've seen a whole bunch of posts, people asking what shows they should be watching on Netflix or on whatever streaming services are available. And it's all because we skip over things that we're not sure about. And it could be because of what I said in number one, that our lives are so cluttered that we don't have time to invest in something that we're not sure about. But we spend a lot of time overlooking things that are really, really good, things that are really, really dope. On Netflix, my wife discovered Jane the Virgin, which was a big hit show. But if it weren't for my daughter watching it and suggesting it to my wife and my wife needing something to do, she wouldn't have discovered that show. For me, it was Ballers. Now, Ballers was on HBO, and I'm not an HBO subscriber, but it's available on Hulu. And because I've had the time to sit down and watch it, I'm really enjoying the show. It's a really good show that I had seen many times before, thought about maybe I should try and watch it, but, you know, I never really gave it a shot. But it's a really good show, not just on television shows, but on podcasts. Hint, hint, plug, plug. I've listened to several podcasts that I would have overlooked or just not have given the opportunity because I wasn't sure. There are so many things out there, and we live in a content-rich age where people are producing things for us to consume, things for us to listen to, things for us to watch, things for us to enjoy. And it's so much stuff out there that it can be overwhelming. Have you ever sat down, pulled up Netflix, and just scrolled through all of the options and gotten so overwhelmed that you ended up just putting it on The Office? I know I do it every night. We watch The Golden Girls every night because we need something playing in the background while we get ready to go to bed. And because it's easy, I don't have to think about it. We just end up watching these shows that we've seen millions of times before, never giving all of this great content the opportunity to entertain us, to inspire us, and honestly give us something new to enjoy. These people that are creating this content are doing so because they have great ideas that need to be heard, that need to be seen, and because we are so used to things being the way that they've always been, that we would rather watch a show from 35 years ago than to give something brand new a chance. You got to understand that 35 years ago, The Golden Girls was new to somebody. And because it was a good show, it took off. Every good thing starts somewhere. And just because you're not familiar with the people doing it, just because you're not familiar with the people behind it, doesn't mean that you shouldn't give it a chance. There's a lot of dope stuff out there that we overlook. And if you just give it the time of day, you can be entertained, you can be inspired, you can be even pushed into your own destiny. So let's stop overlooking this dope stuff and give things a chance, even though we don't know how it's going to turn out. All right, moving right along to number four. Y'all ready? This is a big one, y'all. We pay a hefty price for convenience. I'm going to say that again. We pay a hefty price for convenience. My family loves to go to Texas Roadhouse. It's one of the family favorites to go sit down and have a good meal. And really, honestly, I'm the only one that likes steak. But we'll go there, especially on a Sunday after church, after I've preached and after my wife and my daughter have led worship and my son has played the drums and my other son has worked the video equipment and all of that stuff. We're tired. Nobody really wants to go home and cook anything. We didn't plan anything the night before. And so we decide, let's just go and pick up something from Texas Roadhouse. And that convenience cost us no less than $100. I mean, it's five basically grown people. I got three teenagers and they eat like adults because they practically are adults. So that ticket is always going to be no less than $100, including the tip. And if, you know, we order something extravagant like an appetizer, it's going to be even more than that. And that's one meal. One meal that by the end of the day or by the end of the evening, we're going to be hungry again and going to want something else to eat. Now, since we've been out on this COVID-19 thing, going out to eat has not really been an option. We've been cooking at home and we've discovered that our grocery budget is not as large as it needs to be. But I'll just be honest with you, $100 can buy us a week's worth of groceries if we plan our menu right. And so that convenience of not having to cook after church, not having to prepare a meal before church so that we can have something ready after church, can cost us a week's worth of meals that feeds five grown people. That is a hefty price to pay for convenience. And that's not the only thing. You know, when we go out to eat, part of the enjoyment is the atmosphere and the ambiance of being in the restaurant. We've gone out to eat a couple of times, and my wife and I, we try to have a date night every Thursday, and we've picked up something from some of our favorite restaurants and brought it home to have here at the house, but it's just not the same eating it here as it is eating it there. And, you know, am I paying the same price to eat it at my house? That's just, it's too expensive for it not to be the same experience. And so, you know, when we eat out, it's not just about, you know, the food and the convenience, it's about the ambiance as well. We're paying a hefty price for that. We're paying a huge price in order to have that experience. Not only that, but when we go to the grocery store, if you've noticed, all of the grocery stores have put social distancing stickers down on the floor. And many of the grocery stores that I frequent even have one-way aisles that have people going in only one direction on the aisle to kind of cut down on the cross-contamination and breathing the air of people that are walking in front of us or walking past us. And there are people who don't follow those signs. One day I went to Walmart, and you know, they have those self-checkout lines. And I was standing in one of the self-checkout lines waiting for the person ahead of me to get done. And somebody on the other side of another one of the lines got done before and walked off. And a woman was walking up and asked the attendant, "Are you going to open any more lines?" And she said, "Well, there's one right there," talking about the self-checkout. And she says, "No, I'm not going to use that. I don't work here." Okay, you don't understand that there's a lot of people in this store and they don't have the personnel to cover more lines. As much as you want the convenience of somebody else checking out your groceries, perhaps you could have a little more patience and wait in line, or just check it out yourself. We pay a hefty price for convenience, because in order to have those lines open, you have to have people making the money. In order to make that money, the stores have to raise the prices. And you don't want to pay more for your green beans in order to pay somebody to check you out because you don't work here. We pay a hefty price for convenience. We have become so spoiled that we don't want to wait for anything. My wife read to me today that someone posted that I'll wait in line at Chick-fil-A, but will avoid McDonald's because it's four cars in the drive-thru. We've just become spoiled. And when we are willing to pay that price for convenience, we are basically throwing money away. Now, I've read a lot of people talking about how much money they've saved by cooking at home. And I don't know if I've really seen those savings because I'm feeding five adults, but because I'm not going out and spending $100 a pop to feed my family, honestly, it's probably better for us to just eat at home, even though it may be a little inconvenient. Even though I may want to put my feet up, it doesn't hurt me to go into the kitchen and prepare my family a good home-cooked meal. We pay a hefty price for convenience. So the last thing is probably the one that I take the most personal, because I finally have a season where introverts win. Yes, introverts are winning in this season. Being an introvert has finally paid off. Because I have the type of personality where I'm good in a crowd. I enjoy people's company, but I need to get away to myself in order to recharge. And quite honestly, while a lot of people are losing their minds in this season, I'm good. I don't have to have the crowd. I don't have to go somewhere. I can be here at the house enjoying my family. And even with enjoying my family, they can give me the space that I need to have my alone time. And I'm good. Being an introvert has finally paid off. Extroverts get all of the love, all of the attention, all of the praise, all of the, oh, they're just so great people. But now they're struggling. They're sitting in the house just, long-faced. I don't need somewhere to go. I need something to do. I saw somebody posted the other day that when this thing is all over, invite me somewhere. I promise I'm going to come this time. Because some people are designed for interaction. Some people just need to have that human connection, somebody to hang out with, somebody to talk to, when people like me can just sit, watch their shows, read their book, scroll through Facebook, whatever it is, and be good. So in this world where extroverts have been winning, we are now able to see the value of being able to sit at home and just enjoy the quiet time. This morning after I took my shower and got dressed for work, I decided I would much rather work on my patio outside than to work in my office today. And so I just sat back there, enjoying my coffee in the quiet and the solitude of my backyard. No people to talk to, no Facebook to interact with, no emails to answer. Just doing the things that I needed to do this morning without any real interruption. And I was good. It felt good just to sit out there in the quiet and enjoy my morning. So in this season, introverts, we're winning. It finally pays off to be an introvert. So let's recap. The five things that I want to take into this next season post COVID-19 is to know that we all have room to simplify our lives, because instead of performing life, we should be enjoying life and the simple things that matter the most. Number two, we should do more celebration than replication of innovation. Give credit where credit is due. Celebrate those who are innovating the game. And when we replicate, let's take it a step further and continue the innovation that inspired us. Number three, stop overlooking dope things. There are some really great things that you are overlooking right now. And if you just give it a chance, give it an opportunity to inspire you, you may even do something great yourself. Number four, stop paying that hefty price for convenience. It doesn't hurt you to have a little patience or to spend a little energy and time to do something that will save you money and possibly even a headache later. So stop paying that hefty price for convenience. And last but certainly not least, number five, introverts, we're finally winning. It finally pays off to be an introvert. Typically, I end the show with opening up the doors of the church for anyone who needs to come down and repent. But today I want to go in another direction. I think we all need to take a moment to make sure that we are yet good in this season that we're in. That despite this COVID-19, there have been a couple of stories that have come out once again with black men dying at the hands of police and neighborhood watch. Without going into all the details of those cases, two young men have lost their lives just simply because they were black in the wrong place. Yeah, I know it's not politically correct to say it, but they just happen to be black in the wrong place. We live in a world where I have to be concerned about my sons, that if they decide that they want to take a jog around the neighborhood or walk up the block, that they may not come home safe, that they may not come home alive because they could be black in the wrong place. And while, yes, share the stories, yes, seek justice, yes, make the phone calls, sign the petitions, but in this moment, I want to put us all on the prayer list. I want to make sure that you're good. I want to make sure that you know that you're celebrated, that you are loved, and that we can get through this. We can make it through this time where people will kill someone over the color of their skin. So let me take it a step further. Call a young man. Call a young mother. Check on them. Make sure that they're good. Let's love on each other in this season and not just perpetuate hate. We're gonna make it, y'all. I promise. Once again, thank you for listening to the Building People podcast. I appreciate you so much. And I hope I've said something to encourage you, to inspire you, to lift and build you up, because we're all about having edifying conversations about life, ministry, and culture. Consider subscribing to this podcast and leaving us a great review. That's how people discover us and enjoy our edifying conversations for themselves. But if you didn't like it, just act like you didn't hear it. Don't worry about it. We ain't gonna cry. You can follow me on all social media platforms at I Am Derek J. Murphy. That's DerekJMurphy. On all social media platforms, well, except for Snapchat, because I don't do that. Know that God loves you best, and I love you best I can, and we'll see you the next time.